Worship you, we confess our sins, sins of omission and commission, as we go into your word, Father. Lord God Almighty, I ask for mercy. Lord, who help me to be faithful, Lord, to bring a word in season as we go into this Bible study this morning. Lord, I strip myself of every confidence that I might yet have in my knowledge of the word. I put my confidence in your mercy, in the grace of our Lord Jesus and help of the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Lord God, to cause the word to go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be further controlled by the power of the truth of the Spirit. As I go into your word, Lord, help me to redeem the time, not to say things that are necessary. Help me to bring out of the treasure of your word things both new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Holy Spirit, I lean on you for help as we go into the word this morning. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have been in the book of 1 Timothy for some time now. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I believe we stopped in verse 16. But let's start reading from verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 15. We've been talking about widows, and like I said the other time, that Paul took time to talk about widows, how they should be treated, how widows themselves should conduct themselves, and the responsibility of the family of widows. And as we were looking at the word the last time we were in this book, we saw that everything that applied to the widow also applies to every Christian, because there are the same principles that we find that apply to every Christian. It's not only widows alone. And we took time by the mercy of God to look at the aspect which we are talking about, when Paul said in verse 15, let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15. And it says that, for some are already turned aside after Satan. And we took time to talk about what it means to turn aside after Satan. It is not when you go to Babalawo that you turn after Satan. It's when you begin to yield to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of the heart. When it begins to dominate you, that's when you turn after Satan. I didn't mention the last time, when I talked about this example about Peter, when he took Lord Jesus Christ aside, and Lord Jesus Christ was telling him, said, we're going to the cross, and started telling him things that would happen to him, and then he pulled him aside and said, this shall never be unto you. And then Lord Jesus looked at him and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, but thou serverest the things of men and not the things of God. At this, at that point in time, Satan and Peter had yielded to Satan unknowingly. So this is how, in summary, how we, well, if we allow the loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes, the part of life to dominate us, as the sin nature, that is the soul and the body, to dominate us, it begins to lead us to do things that Satan will do. Like Pastor mentioned some time ago, that actually the loss of the flesh, the loss of the world, are Satan's desires expressed towards the flesh of man. So also God wants to express the fruit of the Spirit towards man. So both God needs man, and Satan also needs man to express their desires. Praise the Lord. So we spend time talking about that, and let's move to verse 16. And Paul was saying to Timothy, say, if any man, let's go there, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them also relieve them, and let not the church be charged. Why? That may relieve them that are widows indeed. You see, kept on talking about widows indeed. Here again, it talks about widows. He says, you know, I tell Timothy that, look, it is true we are going to support widows. We desire to help them. But if widows have family and people that can sustain or help them, they should take care of that responsibility, not just bring it and dump it on the church. Praise the Lord. And we looked at it the other time in the book of Acts, where they first chose deacons. The reason why they chose deacons was because people were complaining, the Greeks, you know, were saying that they were not ministering to their widows. So we see that Paul here tells Timothy that he should also tell family members of widows to support them. You know, like we normally say that, you know, charity begins at home. That is it should be a natural thing for family members of widows to support the widow. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, let's now move to verse 17 for today, trusting the Lord to help me. Let's read together in verse 17. Say, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Let's read again. Say, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Verse 18. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Praise the Lord. So what is Paul trying to say here? After he's finished talking about widows, now he's talking about the elders in the church. And he said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Let's say rule well. That means it's possible for you as an elder not to rule well. For him to be saying that to Timothy, he said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of what? Double honor. So elders here refers again to the fivefold ministry. Those that God has raised up to feed the body of Christ. We're going to talk about that today. You see, it's not everybody that has been called in the position of eldership. Are you following me? It's a fivefold ministry. As we see in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it says that he has called some, you know, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are the elders he's talking about. Now it begins to say that even out of these elders that have been called to rule, see, there are some that will rule well, some may not rule well, but because of their will. They may not spend the quality time that they need to spend in the word to rule well or to feed the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. So we see these elders that rule well. Elders are, like I said, refers to fivefold ministry. And I put it, I said, how do we rule well? In summary, we rule well by the spiritual traveling prayer over the enemy, Satan, and the carnal mind. You see, we're not ruling, it's not a physical ruling, even though there'll be that physical aspect when you correct people in the physical. But it's talking about ruling by the spirit. Let's say ruling by the spirit. That pastor has taught us, you know, from Psalm 110. Said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. After I said, the Lord has stretched, sent forth the rod of his strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, what are those enemies? We need to identify them. Because those are the enemies that hinder the purpose of God in the church. So, Paul is telling Timothy, said, the elders that rule well. So, how do they rule? They rule over the enemy. Say, the enemy. Enemy number one is Satan. Say, Satan. The devil. The Bible calls him your adversary. And then the second enemy, we see in Romans chapter 8, it says that the carnal mind is in enmity with God because he can never please God. And for him, so that those are the two enemies that the leadership should rule over. So it says that once you want to observe, as even as saints, you count those that are worthy of double honor, those that rule well. That is how basically you rule well. For example, we are gathered here by the grace of God, we're hearing the word on an open heavens. It's because people have prayed, pastors have prayed, they've prayed and opened heavens. If they don't overcome Satan in the air, and the carnal mind of the people coming to church, people will not come to church on time. Those that come will not concentrate. You find the enemy will begin to impinge from the air upon the souls of men and hinder them from concentrating. Are you following me? So he said, the elders that rule, let them rule well. Praise the Lord. Yes, that is why if we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, let's just back up to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. That was one of the criteria that he gave to choose pastors. Said, back up a bit. Bishop said, he said, a bishop then, must be what? Blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good people, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Next verse. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy looker, but patient and not a brawler, not covetous. That's a problem we have in church today. Next verse. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So, Paul here, initially in verse chapter 3, was saying, before you pick an elder or a bishop, you must first of all see that he's ruling his own family properly. He's like keeping his children in subjection with all gravity. And that can only be done by prayer. It can only be done by prayer. You see, there's no way, it takes spiritual power to keep the flesh under. That's why Paul himself said, he said, I, Paul, that is the new born again spirit man, Paul inside, said, I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. So after I preach that, I myself will not be a castaway. So for you to qualify as an elder, you must first of all rule your own house well with all, bring me your children in subjection with all gravity. So that is the criteria. But we find out that in the church, in this present day, many elders, they don't do this. Or they don't do it well. That's why I repeat again. Paul said, say, let the elders rule well. Be counted worthy of double honor. Especially they that who labor in the word and doctrine. So he says they must rule well, number one. And then he said, apart from ruling well, say there's that labor in the word and in doctrine. So you can also have a set of elders that are ruling well, but have not been called at that time, maybe to teach.
That's what he's saying. He says that, let's go to Jesus, we can see clearly. Say, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That says, especially those they that labor in the word and in doctrine. Praise the Lord. So, in trying to prepare for the message, I put it in a scripture here. Like I said, Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Where Paul says, my little children of whom I travel in, but again, until Christ be formed in you. So that is how you can rule. Now, he says, those that labor in the world and the doctrine, he says they must be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor here does not mean greeting them. That is part of it. Or just regular honor. It means that supporting them financially and giving up to them of your substance. Says double honor. Say they counted worthy. Why? Because it is not an easy thing to dig into the world and then bring out things for the people of God. It's not easy when you see, for example, in this house, you see pastor, mommy, they come each time, they dig into the word, and they bring out things, and you're saying, is it not the same thing I've been reading all the years? Why? Because it takes spiritual labor to dig into the word, and then to bring out things from the word, and that brings, I never knew that is in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So it says, especially that labor in the word and in doctrine. Why? It takes labor to pray in prayer and in the word to rightly divide the word of truth. Let's say it together. It takes labor in prayer and in the word to rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says, talks about rightly dividing the word of truth of Timothy. That means you can wrongly divide the word of truth. And once you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you find out that the purpose of God will be hindered or totally, you can't nullify it, but it can be delayed. And then secondly, it will affect the saints that hear the word. Case in point, I've been taught over the years in this place that the coming of the Lord is in three phases in this end time. It's first of all going to come in us in perfection and fullness, and it's going to come for us at the rapture, and it's going to come with us for the millennial reign. Now, if you do not rightly divide the word of God, like many people are doing, they're not expecting the coming, no, they're expecting the rapture. So what does that do? It makes the people of God to be laid back. I see there is no incentive for purifying themselves. The Bible says, he that has this open himself, purified himself, even as he is pure. Because once you know that something is going to happen before the rapture, then you begin to prepare for it. Praise the Lord. So is that an example of rightly dividing the word? Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So, and I also put it here, and I said, if they wrongly divide the word, the purpose of God will be for the individuals to be affected. Like Pastor has taught us, he said that in the book of Revelation, says that every human being, every Christian has things written concerning him in this book. So it will take spiritual fathers, those that labor in the word and in doctrine, that can rightly divide it and give you the keys. So it's the keys that they give you, that you now study the Bible, you now begin to see yourself in the Bible. You are reading about the story about David, then you say, this applies to me. Then the Bible starts open, no longer a storybook. An historical account of the Lord Jesus Christ. That starts seeing your destiny. And it helps you to make decisions where you live, where you go, and everything. Praise the Lord. So it's important. So as I was studying by the grace of God, I put some things down here. I know one that the master told Peter. You know, after he rose, the Bible said, the third time he appeared to him. And he told him, he said, feed my sheep. He said, feed my lambs. He told him the third time, Peter said, lovest me more than this. I discovered that, the problem with the leadership in the body of Christ is this. They don't love God as they ought to. They claim they love him, but they do not love him. You see, love is not just saying hello. In that scripture, we're going to open the Bible to, I think it's in John chapter 21, I believe. Help me, Holy Spirit. Yes, John chapter 21, verse 15. Let's just read it so I can explain. So, here, so when they are dying, when they are dying, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto me, feed my lambs. I see the younger ones. Next verse. He said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And the third time, verse 17, he said unto him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. If you look at the Greek translation, the master was using the word agape, but Peter was using the word phileo. The master was saying, Peter, you should agape me. And it's very simple. What he was saying in context, if you look at it, what I've been taught, Lord Jesus Christ, if any man love me, he will keep my commandments. So you love God when you keep his commandments. So you can see that if an elder does not keep his commandments, there is no way he's going to feed the sheep. Are you following my train of thought? You see, he's telling, he says, lovest me more than this. But it's not just love. Say, agape me. And in book of 4, same John chapter 14, I think it's in 15, he said that this is my commandment. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I know those commandments are commandments of life and love. So he's telling Peter here, say, if you love me, feed my sheep. So an indication of a true or an elder that rules well is somebody that feeds the people under him. Are you following me? But there's a problem in the body of Christ today because you find out that many of the shepherds are not feeding the flock. So that's why Paul told Timothy, say the elders that rule well, count them worthy of what? Double honor. Because it takes labor in prayer. Labor in the word, night and day, to bring out the word of God that will help, first of all, to fulfill the purpose of God. That is one on one side. And then secondly, for the individuals to fulfill their own destinies, apart from being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to fulfill things that have been written in the word concerning them. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul, the same Peter said the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, verses 1 to 4. Let's look at him in Amplified Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1. Amplify, please. So was saying, after the Lord has spoken to him, he now began to write again. He says, I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of a church, as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory, the honor and splendor that is to be revealed, disclosed, unfolded. Next verse. Now listen, he said, tens, nurture, guide at the fold. The flock of God, that is your responsibility, not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not dishonorably, motivated by the advantages and profits belonging to the office, but eagerly and cheerfully. See, the advantages to the office. Can you link that? The same Paul. Paul says, those that rule well, count them worthy of double honor. But that must not be the motivation of the elder. The fact that the advantage is there, the fact that you expect tithes and offerings, that should not be your motivation. We need to balance that. So he begins to tell them. He says, do them that, apart from, because the advantage is there. Because why? That's why the Bible calls the people of the church, it calls them their sheep. Why? Because they can easily be led astray. And that's the situation you find in the body of Christ today. People take undue advantage of a sheep. They fleece them. I follow him. Back to first Peter, please. Yes, verse 3. See, that's it. Not domineering as arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing persons over those in your charge, but being examples, patterns, and models of Christian living to the flock, the congregation. We taught many times. Paul said, he said, called himself a pattern. The populace that have been taught, at least be an example. You will lead them by your conduct and by your character. Praise the Lord. I'll spend some time on this today because this is the problem we have in the body of Christ today. All the elders, most elders, so to speak, they want to be counted worthy of double honor, even more than double honor. So most elders are clamoring for double honor. But Paul has said, he said, them that rule well. So we need to be very careful to know those that rule well. I follow him. So as I was studying, I discovered, like I said, like the master said, if we open the Bible to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31. Ezekiel 34, verse 30. No, sorry. I missed my... Ezekiel 34, verse 1, I think. Verse 1, talked about the shepherds. And the word of Lord came unto me, saying, next verse. Son of man, let's go. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do what? Feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? See, the assignment for any shepherd is to make sure he feeds his flock. So see, once you leave your priority of feeding the flock to seeking for honor, or for double honor, or for financial material reward, then you go into error. And that is the problem we have in Body of Christ today. As I was meditating, I discovered that the reason why this is so is happening right now is because the master has tarried. We're going to see as we continue. You see, if you put your faith in dying and going to heaven, by the time you've done everything over and over again, you find there's nothing else to see in the Word of God. So all you are doing is you're just waiting either to die of old age or something happens, they can die and go to heaven. So there's no motivation to improve. No, but Paul says, some said, I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And God, as I put it, God desires his people to be fed. Because if they are not fed, they will not grow to inherit the glory. If you follow that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 we are reading, it was saying that so when the chief shepherd shall appear, you might receive a crown of glory. That means if people are not fed, they are not going to receive or manifest the glory of God. Are you following me? So let's open our Bibles to try and explain this further. To Luke chapter 12, I believe. I said because the bridegroom has tarried. The Bible says in, are we there? First Luke chapter 12, let's try it from verse 35. This is the problem that we have with shepherds today. Say, let your loins be gathered about, and your lights burning. Next verse. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Praise the Lord. Next verse. Blessed are those servants. So he's talking to servants. Those that he wants to receive double honor. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Say, verily I say unto you, that he shall do what? Guard himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Next verse. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Next verse. And this know that if the good man of the house had known what are, the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken. Too many churches are being broken to today. Why? Because those that God has said, the elders are not ruling well. See, part of ruling well again is covering. You provide covering for the people under you. So the enemy doesn't just come and take them out. But the people of God have been plundered in most places today. You look at life of David, for example. You know, talking about when, looking in natural now, when he was handling his father's sheep. And he said that, look, all of a sudden, a lion took one. I said, I went after it, and I tore the lion, and I rescued the sheep. That should be the attitude of every shepherd. Or an indication that the person is ruling well. A bear did the same thing, and repeated. Why? You know why? Because one day, he's going to give an account, David, natural, to his father, because the sheep belonged to Jesse. So also, every shepherd, every sheep, under every shepherd or any elder, they belong to God. Ezekiel 34 says, he said that the men are my sheep. So every shepherd is going to give an account one day to the master. Are you following me? So it's sobering thought. So it's not just the aspect of double honor, but the aspect of when you rule well, you provide covering for the sheep. Then you provide nourishment for them. That covering sustains them so that as they are growing, you feed them with milk and then with the strong meat that help them to grow into perfection. Praise the Lord. So let's keep reading. Please go back to Luke chapter 12. Where were we? Luke chapter 12, please. Just stay in Luke 12 for now. Luke 12, let's go to verse... move down. We're already past this place. Next verse. 39. Okay, 39, And this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Next verse. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. So he's talking about the coming of the Lord in context that this is coming in us. Next verse. You see what now? The same Peter. Next verse. See, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh. Now, next verse, please. The same Peter says, then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? Next verse. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? That is the issue here. Part of your ruling well as an elder is to give the people their meat in due season. Not just come here and take scriptures together and just share. There is a word in season. I follow him. That's how you know an elder that rules well. Next verse. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Next verse. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he had. Next verse. Give him authority. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. That is the problem we have today. And shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken. Next verse. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. He's not watching and praying. And an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with unbelievers. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying here? We're talking about elders that rule well. Comparing them with elders that don't rule well. And we're trying to say, look, the elders that rule well are those that provide covering for their sheep. And they also give them give them meat in due season. Meat in the Bible talks about the word of God. The Bible says, strong men, it belongeth unto them that are mature, I follow him. So that is how you know an elder that rules well. The Bible says that when you begin to notice such people, it's a count them worthy of what? Double honor. This is not just a tithe now. It's over and above the tithe. Why? Because you must make sure, because it takes, that's why the same Peter says something. After he's learned his lesson in the book of Acts, when they were choosing, it's not meet for us to leave the word of God to serve tables. So, but we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word. See, you cannot do this work without giving yourself continually, day and night, to prayer and ministry of the word. Or it's kind of what will bring to the people very, very shallow. And the people cannot grow. Praise the Lord. So I put it there. I said, okay, meet in due season. Next, please stay in Luke chapter 12. And it says something. It says that he now talks about, started talking about the one that knew his master's will and the one that did not do it. Say, but next verse, please. Say, the Lord of the servant will come in a day when looking for him. I think we've read it. Next, we appoint him with unbelievers. Say, and the servant, let's see, and the servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So there is no excuse for any elder to say, I didn't know. The master himself said, he will be beaten with many stripes. That's why it takes intercession, waiting upon God, fasting and prayer to find out the master's will. And we'll see a bit of that as we continue. Next verse. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. What are we saying? You see, you can have elders in two categories. Some that don't know the will of God. We are talking about the basic drug, getting born again, being filled. Practically any man of God should know that. But see, the will of God we are talking about now, because he's talking about when he comes. That's the context. You know, stock said that if he's not watching and praying, you cut him asunder with unbelievers. So what is the will of God that every elder should know? Or the criteria to which you might know whether this person is ruling well or not. You must give them their meat in due season. And he must know the will of man. What is the will of the master? Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's see. For this is the will of God. Let's read. For this is the will of God. Even your Sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Fine, thank God, abstain from fornication. But let's hold on that word. Say, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Verse, the next verse. Next verse. Verse 4. Says that every one of you, that every one of you should know how to possess this vessel in sanctification and honor. It's the only way you can know how. We talked about the wisdom of God. And it's only the elders and rulers, fathers, apostles that give the wisdom. Say there's a know-how to possess your body in sanctification and honor. You can't just decide that I'm going to keep my body in sanctification. The body will misbehave. That's what I said again. Say Paul said, I keep my body under. There is a know-how to keep your body under. Now, what is this talking about? What is the will of God for the elders to be categorized as ruling well? They must know the will of God, which is sanctification of spirit, soul, and body. Take that word sanctification. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 5:23 says, and the very God of peace, let's go, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we saying? The elders that rule well must not be motivated for the gains of that ministry. They must do three basic things, really. They must be able to pray, provide covering for their sheep so that the enemy doesn't come and take them out. And then secondly, they must give them their meat in due season. And specifically, as it applies to us in this day, is knowing the will of God. That's why, you know, somewhere in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where I was talking about the cross, they said you must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. This is the mystery of the faith, total sanctification, spirit, soul, and body. So he said, if you're an elder and you don't do that, maybe you didn't know. There's some people that don't know. Maybe they're not being taught. But there's no excuse them. Say, we're beaten with stripes. Say, but those that know, and they refuse to teach the people because of what they can get, they will be beaten with many stripes. That is the situation we find in the body of Christ today. Babylon. They don't teach the people of God, and yet they are demanding from the people of God double honor. Literally, they've turned the people of God to slaves. The way they treat the people of God, you know, I don't want to go into examples because it's not part of the message for today. But you see, that is how you know an elder that rules well and an elder that does not rule well. You know, book of Jeremiah 56, chapter 50, verse 6, says that they have taken the God's people from mountain to hill. You see, we're supposed to leave a mountain. Let's open there. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. And they have forgotten their resting place. Zion is the resting place. Say, this is my desire. They are taking people from mountain to hill. When you move from mountain to hill, it means that you are now living a carnal life. That's the problem you have in the body of Christ today. So you can easily know those that are ruling well and those that are not ruling well. But say, by their fruits, you shall know them. Not just the fruit of the man of God, but the fruit of the people under him. Those are his fruits. So when you look at a particular set of people, there are people that are just getting born again, they are still growing. But let's say the entire congregation, they are living a carnal life. That means that elder in that place are taking them from the mountaintop to live a lower life, carnality. Praise the Lord. The second point I have here again, for you to know those that rule well and those that don't rule well, is that Paul says something, especially in this time. He says that in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, because it's a sign of our times we are living in. So don't just go and dump your money. Of definitely, I believe you're not going to go and give money to all these funny people that you see around and that ask for money. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Say, we are in the time when Paul said that people will not endure sound doctrine. Sign of the times. Are we there? It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But what? After their own loss, shall they heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. Next verse. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That is what is going on in the body of Christ today. In most places, they've led people from mountain to hill. Praise the Lord. So, but I put it here before we go back to 1 Timothy. I say God is raising up through fivefold ministry. He has already raised them, but he's still raising them up in this end time that will feed the body of Christ. All employees that will rule well. And the evidence of you being ruled well is the fruit that yourself will begin to bring forth when you apply the instructions given unto you. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Because that is what is doing, God is doing right now. Praise the Lord. Are we there? And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which are what? Feed you with knowledge and understanding, not fables. They will feed you with knowledge and understanding. You see, if the people of God are not properly fed, it will show in their lives. In their conduct, they will remain carnal, like we said. That's why Paul said something. He was talking to Corinthians church. He said, I've fed you with milk. I've tried to feed you, but you can't take it. Now, it wasn't Paul's fault. Are you following me? So, you see, this is how you know whether somebody is ruling well or they are not ruling well. And I put it there. I say, it takes, again, to reiterate, it is the teaching of the word of God that you teach the people when you rule well that will prepare them to receive their inheritance. Because we've been told, see, the spirit of that measure is not a gift, it's a reward. So if people are not taught very well, they will not be prepared to receive their inheritance. So you can imagine what is going on in the body of Christ today, where you have many people that have not been taught very well, they're not feeding their people properly, and you find that they are not ready. Are you following? Praise the Lord. So let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Praise the Lord. So that's how you know elders that rule well and them that don't rule well. So it now goes to say in verse 18, it says, For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. One thing I want to see there is this. That means it takes labor to rule well. I can see from this verse. It says that for the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and labor is worthy of his reward. That means that, you see, he's using, as we all know, the ox here speaks about apostolic ministry and prophetic ministries. The scripture somewhere in Isaiah, I can't remember now, where it says that you should water the feet of the ox and the ass. Somewhere in Isaiah, find a piece of wood on the board. It says that the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle. How can you muzzle the ox that treads the corn? If it's not possible, Paul will not say it. It is very, very, but what will you do? You do that when you don't support them, or you will be told that which is meat. You see, you can be giving to them and not giving enough. That is, you just come and you drop the change. So instead of a person to concentrate on the ministry of the word and pray, you know, he now has to go and, it's not wrong to walk, but Paul walked, that's what I'm saying. But see, it's now those things are taking his attention away from digging deep in the word, which the individual sheep does not have the anointing to do. You see, the apostle, the pastor, there's an anointing on them to do certain and specific works. I will, okay, so it says, Blessed are ye, that sow beside all waters, and then send forth it at the feet of the ox and the ass. That speaks about the apostles and the prophets. Bible says, blessed are ye. That's when you minister to them. Because you see, Bible says that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Again, that is not saying that you are built on a man. He's talking about the church is built on the instructions that they give. Because there's an anointing on them to teach you, which you cannot get. There's some things you will get, like we've been taught in your personal Bible reading and study, as you meditate on the word, you will get. But see, there's an anointing on them that will bring and add more to it. They will clarify, they will amplify, and they will point you in the right direction. So God is saying that these are the elders that rule well. Says you should support them financially. Says you should give to them. Says that, look, say you are blessed. Says send forth their feet, the feet of the ox and the ass, the apostles and the prophets that God has raised up. Now, it can also apply to the pastors, the evangelists, but God is saying support them. But the key thing we need to know, as I begin to round up today, is that you need to know whether they rule well or they don't rule well. And the only way you can actually know whether they rule well or they don't rule well is look at your own self. Like Paul said, say you are epistles written and read of all men. So when you look at your life and look at the instructions you've received, and you've been practicing them, and they've brought forth fruits in your life, then you know that actually they are ruling well. That's how you know. If somebody gives you, in the natural, gives you drugs to take, and you take the drug, and still the problem is still there, then this drug, you know, it's not working. Are you following me? But when they give you instructions, and you obey those instructions, and you see a change in your life. Now, the change you are talking about again is not just material and finance. That is part of it. But a change in character. You begin to change from Jacob to Israel. When you start seeing that change in your life, because that is what is going to qualify you to receive the Spirit that measure. That is the thing you are looking for. Not just financial prosperity, that is part of it. Healing and health, that is part of it. That's why I said those that labor in the word and doctrine. Doctrine speaks about the principles of a Christ life. These principles of, you know, foundational principles. But the one that is both, as I said, word and doctrine. So he puts word there. Where he said, let us now go on to perfection. Not lean against the foundation of the principle of blah, blah, blah. Start listening them. So when you now look at your own life and you now see that, yes, I practice instructions and they are working in my life, my character is changing and becoming more conformed to me of Jesus Christ, they know they are actually ruling well. So the Bible says those ones that rule well count them worthy of double honor. I believe I'll stop here for today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow down to pray. Let's talk to the Lord. The elders that rule well. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. I will have no other gods but you alone. I will bow to no other gods but you. I lay down all of my idols and the thrones I have made, and I give you your praise, O Lord. I will have no other God. I will have no other God but you alone. I will bow. I will bow to no other God but you. But you. Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to note them
the elders that rule well amongst us. I thank you for your mercies, for giving unto us fivefold ministry, true fivefold ministry that teach your word, supposed to bring us unto perfection. I say, I determine in my heart to honor them, to count them worthy of double honor, to support them in what they do, and also to follow them by using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect your love in my life, that I also might be counted worthy to be a partaker of the first fruits of a manifestation of your glory. Thank you, Father, for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love and help. In Jesus, let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Give myself.
I give myself.